You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.
And greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am Doug McBurney sitting in for Bob Enyart momentarily. Bob is out on the road getting some updates, and we're waiting. We're waiting for him to come into the studio. I've got a couple things I want to ask Bob about. Obviously, there's been an arrest in the Jessica Ridgeway murder investigation, and I have here Governor Hickenlooper's statement. Our prayers go out to the family of Jessica Ridgeway and for the whole community there in Westminster. I like the ad mentioned that if you come to Denver Bible Church, you should bring your Bible, because I want to talk with Bob today about what should we be asking of our governing officials in light of this arrest. And of course, this is all preliminary. Apparently, this young man has confessed. We don't know if there's been any evidence directly linking him to the case, but I just want to find out from Bob what it is, because Governor Hickenlooper made a statement. And I just want to go over that with Bob. We'll get to that. Also, I want to talk about Indiana Senate candidate Richard Murdoch and his rather obtuse statement. I've got an article here. Where is this article from? From ABC News. Not necessarily a reputable news source, but we have double and triple checked this article, so we know that it's somewhat reliable. Indiana Senate candidate Richard Murdoch became the latest Republican to stir up controversy and potential trouble for the Romney campaign when he said during a debate, quote, "Even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that is something God intended to happen." So that begs the question, are you talking about the rape, or are you talking about the baby, or what exactly are you talking about, Mr. Indiana Senate candidate? And this is why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, to bring your Bible to church. Now, this guy's probably 50 or 60 years old, and he's relatively clueless about the nature of the living God, the Creator, and His will, and His place in the universe and outside the universe and within time and without time and all of that. I'm going to talk to Pastor Bob about these issues, but I want to go to a story in New Jersey real quick before Bob makes it into the studio. This is from the New York Post. This is out of Clayton, New Jersey. There was a report of a missing girl, a young girl named Autumn Pasquale in Clayton, New Jersey. A massive search was undertaken earlier this week, and tragically, horribly, horrifyingly, her body was found stuffed in a recycling bin at a vacant property there in the vicinity of Clayton, New Jersey. And this was a 12-year-old girl who was into BMX bicycle racing. And according to this article from the New York Post, her name is Autumn Pasquale. She was allegedly lured to meet two brothers, Justin and Dante Robinson, 15, 17-year-old brothers, at their home last Saturday because they wanted to talk to her about parts of her BMX bike, and now her body has been found. And these two brothers were turned in by their mother. And the New York Post reports it thusly. A New Jersey mom ratted out her teenage sons for the murder of a 12-year-old girl after reading a Facebook posting. I wonder who raised the people writing for the New York Post to say that turning in a murderer is equal to ratting someone out. I'm not sure what's going on in the world. I want to welcome to the studio now Pastor Bob Enyart.
Thank you, Doug McBurney. It's a broken world we live in, but we do know that. And so, Doug, regarding both the Jessica Ridgeway tragedy and the Indiana pro-life politician, who somehow pro-life politicians need to figure out how to say things.
They need to bring their Bibles to church. They probably needed to start doing that when they were about 11.
That would help. Now, why don't we start with Austin Sigg, who was arrested?
Yeah.
We don't know what the evidence is, like you just said.
Not yet.
But when the Westminster police announced the arrest,
yeah,
they pointed out that they called the Ridgeway family.
Yeah.
And they said that they hoped and they prayed that this would help to bring them some measure of closure So that indicates that they believe that they have significant evidence that this is the murderer.
Mm. And if he is, well, we're glad he's off the streets. But I want to ask you about Governor Hickenlooper's statement, Bob, because now it's going to be in the hands of the governing officials there in Westminster and the state of Colorado to find justice for Jessica, which has been somewhat of a byword over the past few weeks. Everybody wants justice for Jessica. Here's what Governor Hickenlooper said, and I'll read his entire statement. Mm. Governor Hickenlooper, quote, "Every parent in every Colorado community will rest a little easier tonight. While we still mourn the death of Jessica Ridgway, we are relieved an arrest has been made and the pursuit of justice can continue. We are especially grateful today to law enforcement officers at all levels for their quick action in this case," unquote. That is Governor Hickenlooper.
Yeah, so what we should be calling for is what God says in his word, that you need a swift punishment. Otherwise, that criminals will feel emboldened to commit crime. Mm-hmm. So the best we usually have to hope for is a 30 or 50 year jail sentence.
Right.
And there's no way to swiftly impose a 30 year jail sentence.
Right.
So the Bible speaks of the death penalty, and the swift and painful death penalty is a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly all the criminals who've killed people after being convicted of capital crimes like kidnapping or murder or rape.
And there's plenty
of examples. All of those people would have been deterred from committing additional sexual assaults or murders if they would have been put to death.
Right.
That's hard to argue with. Even the liberals have a hard time.
Well, let me give you an argument.
Yeah.
But what if we were to convict and execute an innocent man?
Yeah, that certainly is possible, right?
It could happen. We're human.
In the realm of human endeavor. Right. And so are you more likely to make a mistake when you have thousands of murders per year, thousands, or if you obey God and swiftly and painfully execute criminals, murderers, rapists, kidnappers? And so then God says, if you do that, you will deter criminals so that you won't have an epidemic of murder.
Mm.
You won't have an epidemic of rape. And you won't have kidnapping, like even in the numbers that we do. And so then the law enforcement agencies in a nation would have very few of these kinds of crimes to process. It would not be like in Detroit, where it's an assembly line of murders.
Right, yeah.
So when you have to deal with an assembly line and you're in the homicide division, well, then you've got an assembly line of murders.
Mm.
And even when it comes to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation or the FBI, their resources would not be stretched so thin if we did not have a crime epidemic. So the chances of falsely accusing someone of murder when you've had hundreds of thousands of murders since Bob and Your Live has been on the air, not counting abortion, not counting all those kids that have been murdered, but the murder of people after they're born, hundreds of thousands of murders, how many mistakes will have been made?
Mm.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Because we have a murder epidemic and a rape epidemic. And so if we didn't have those epidemics, if we obeyed God and deterred criminals, then there'd be way less likely chance that we're going to falsely accuse someone for, say, a couple hundred thousand murders that had not occurred.
Right.
It's hard to be accused of a murder that hasn't occurred.
And might I suggest that even in a case, as you just mentioned, there's not a lot of murders, we could still make a mistake.
You sure can. Right.
So
you start off with, say, since Bob and Your Life has been on the air, 200,000 fewer murders to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 200,000 fewer people who've been killed for starters.
Right.
Then how many people will be falsely accused and imprisoned in our current system because we have so many murders? So, yeah, you may have occasionally the horrific case of someone falsely accused and then even convicted. That is possible.
And then even executed.
And then even executed.
But might I suggest that the living God at the end of the day will achieve justice. If a mistake is made, there will be justice.
That's absolutely right. And so you may have, say, in the course of a decade, one or six people killed who shouldn't have been.
Right.
Whereas with the current system, you've got 10,000 people killed who shouldn't have been.
But I think the fact that large segments of the American population are extremely uncomfortable with the death penalty is because they don't really have any eternal perspective. We have a couple right. generations now who don't believe right. there is a God. This is it.
Right.
The life you have is it. And they have no idea about a living God and a judgment day, and that justice will be done in every case by the living God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to make mistakes. We want to have the best possible system. We want to convict and execute the guilty, and we want to exonerate the innocent.
Mm.
But we can have faith that because even though we're flawed human beings and our systems are flawed, our courts are flawed, we might make mistakes, in the end, the living God is going to give justice to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. And God requires of governing officials that they provide due process. It violates one of the Ten Commandments to bear false witness against your neighbor.
Right.
So a judge who was negligent and did not carefully weigh the evidence, he'd be guilty, too.
And he could be punished, which that doesn't happen right
no,
now.
No, that does not happen.
There's no accountability for judges or juries.
Or juries. That's exactly right. And that shouldn't be. If it could be shown that a judge was negligent, then that judge should be held accountable.
Mm.
So that if you're a judge, obviously you're not going to be negligent in a system that demands justice.
Mm.
But we don't have that kind of system. We have defense attorneys who are taught, well, the process is justice.
Yeah.
If you get a rapist murderer acquitted, then you've achieved justice because the process is justice. And that's so perverse. But Doug, that has become, I tell you, our Christian law schools, from what I can deduce from talking to students and graduates of our Christian law students, of our Christian law schools, even, they're all moral relativists, they're legal positivists, and the process is justice.
Mm.
So if you get a murderer to be acquitted, you've done your job as an attorney. Mm. That's wicked.
It saddens me to think of the Ridgeway family today and to know that the best Governor Hickenlooper can promise her, or anyone else in the justice system can really promise her, is a process. Mm. I don't think there's any credible evidence
right.
that they can offer justice for Jessica
right.
Ridgeway.
And, you know, the people who have had their loved ones killed and then they've gone on the air to say, we forgive this person, they obviously think that what they're doing is right.
Yeah, of course.
And they've probably heard somewhere along the line from some bad Bible teacher that's what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible shows explicitly that you don't have the grounds, you don't have the standing to forgive someone for a crime they committed against someone else.
That's right.
So you could say, you know, he's repented, and so I do forgive him of the hurt he's caused me,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not God. I can't forgive him for this murder. He needs to answer for this murder.
Yeah.
People thought Jesus was acting like God because he was forgiving people.
That's right.
And
he was.
They had a good point. Only
yeah.
God can forgive crimes committed against other people. You could only forgive crimes committed against you.
That's right.
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
If there are other victims, you can't do that unless you pretend that you're God.
Mm.
So we've reintroduced Theology Thursdays
Theology
here on Bob
Thursday.
Burnett Live.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
That's right. And, you know, normally, Doug, we talk about the news from a Christian worldview.
Yes, we do.
Now, on Thursdays, we're going to look at the source of that worldview, the Bible, with verse-by-verse Bible studies
Very
and sermons.
Good.
Should be fun.
Yeah, that'll be excellent. I think that there's a certain senatorial candidate in the great state of Indiana who
yeah.
might want to tune in.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah. Did you happen
Clearly.
To hear the statement as I read it?
I heard it, and I heard him say it.
Before we move on, I want to thank you, Bob, for giving us both an eternal perspective and a real-world, down-to-earth solution for the problem of justice for Jessica. So we have an eternal perspective. We know that God is going to give justice to Jessica Ridgeway.
Right, right.
But here on this earth, the Christian worldview provides mechanisms so that we can get justice here as well.
Right. We should be able to. But
That's right.
our government, not only is our government in rebellion against God, But the church mostly is in rebellion against God's word, for the most part.
Yeah.
Our pastors have taken this path of the Hillary Clinton school of Bible study.
The Hillary Clinton school.
Well, as far as I could tell, her favorite verse, "Judge not," has become their primary loyalty.
You're right.
So that they will judge no one other than the person taking money out of the collection plate. Yeah, well, that's the only person they will judge.
They would judge him quickly, too. Swiftly.
Swiftly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Doug, by the way, our telethon goal of 30,000, you mentioned a week ago we weren't even at 50% yet.
Yes. I was very depressed about that.
We are now $17,250.
We're over halfway. I want to thank everyone in the audience who have continued to give and people who've been motivated to give because you've helped us. There's light at the end of the tunnel now. We're past halfway.
Yeah. $17,250.
I want to scold and admonish those who have not yet given.
No, don't scold.
No, and I'm one of them. I have.
That's not.
You know what, Bob?
B-E-L,
I don't think I've given to the telethon.
You're doing the show. You're giving of your life.
Well, I would like to give
wisdom, your time.
No, I'm not a rich man, but I'd like to pledge a couple hundred dollars. But I want to make sure it's a matching gift. I want someone else to step up. I've got $200. I've got it here on me.
You do.
But I'm not going to give it until someone else calls in and matches the donation. The number to call is 1-800-836-9278. Help me give some of my money to the telethon because I want to keep Bob Enyart live on the air.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Because I know that it's critical. Who else could I go to with these questions?
Well, you
about
go
justice?
To a lot of people.
Not a lot.
You go to Daryl Burkey.
Okay, well, maybe
go
a handful.
Go to Will Duffy.
A handful of people.
Go to James.
Yeah, but they don't have a show.
Go to Gordon.
I know, but they don't have a show.
We have a show. And
we have a show.
And we talk about the news from a Christian worldview.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing in conservative talk.
Mm.
Conservative talk radio. You don't get that. You hardly get it on Christian radio.
Mm.
News from a Christian worldview.
You know what, Bob? And what you just said about the church might explain. I've been having a problem. Because we see cases like the case of Jessica Ridgway. If we wanted to, we could do probably one a day from somewhere in the country, a case similar to this, where a child is brutally murdered. I've been wondering, where is the outrage from the parents and the family? How can you not be angry?
Well, I don't know about from the family. People grieve in all kinds of ways. But from society, we're all shell-shocked. There's just too many decades of a murder epidemic.
So we're callous to it
We're callous to it.
Nobody wants to stand up and demand.
It's just like child killing, abortion. It's just like adultery. When adults commit adultery and they destroy their marriages, then it's like taking a child in one of those families and ripping his heart right out of his chest.
Yeah.
It's like cutting her open and ripping her heart out of her. It's that painful.
Mm.
And yet, even the church says, well, what are you going to do? It's like free speech, only more. And they're wrong. God laid down the law, and it should not be legal to seduce your neighbor's wife. But focus on the family. They're supposed to be the Christian standard bearer.
Yeah, well.
They think, they've told us, we look at Focus on the Strategy 1. You know, it's a trilogy. Look at the first DVD. They think that pornography should be legal.
Yeah.
Dr. James Dobson thinks that you regulate pornography just like they think you regulate child killing. And so there's no longer a clarion, clear call saying what is right and what is wrong.
Mm.
So we regulate these things.
And so we've become callous and we've lost the... Because my wife and I'll bet you... Tens of thousands of husbands and wives have had this conversation over this past week about, heaven forbid, what if this happened in our family? What if it happened?
Yeah, right.
And I understand grief and sorrow and sadness. I understand all that. But if it was in my family, whether it was my child or another child in my family, I would have to be physically restrained and kept away from the courthouse.
Yeah, but,
I would feel just an incredible anger. Once this person was identified and convicted, I would want justice.
Well, right. Absolutely. And you have too many Christians like Pat Robertson, who is so perverse. There was an axe murderer in Texas, if I recall the state, in Texas. And he decides to take her side and with this phony righteous indignation.
Yeah.
How dare the family want her to be put to death?
Yeah. Well,
family of the victims.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet he talks about China with their forced abortion, and he says that's none of our business. They've got a serious problem. They've got too many Chinese babies over there.
That's what he said. Yeah.
You know, the more you kill, they're probably better off. And this is the wickedness of what passes for a Christian leader in America. Mm. And why wasn't Pat Robertson rebuked by Focus on the Family and National Right to Life and the U.S. Catholic bishops?
He was rebuked by Denver Bible Church, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and a handful of Christian pro-life ministries around the country.
Mm-hmm.
A handful.
But he wasn't rebuked by the mainline Protestant.
No, of course not.
Leadership.
And Doug, you know how many now of our Christian leaders are saying you should vote for Romney, of course, and they lie about his record, and they lie about homosexual marriage and his socialism and his child killing and all.
Yeah.
But and they say, you know, in his heart, he's really pro-life. He just has some exceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, were you at church on Sunday? We had a visitor from Connecticut at Denver Bible Church.
I was there.
And he said, my church, people bring their Bibles to our church. And in Connecticut, that's a big deal.
No, they allowed them across the state line anymore.
Right, exactly. And so it's a church where they love God, but they misrepresent Mitt Romney as though he's pro-family, pro-Christian worldview, pro-life. And he said, now, my Sunday school teacher has come out and said, we need to vote for this Republican U.S. Senate candidate who's blatantly pro-abortion. He's not, in his heart, pro-life with some exceptions.
Not even able to equivocate that little
bit. He's just a child killer. It would be like he's a slave trader, or it'd be like he advocates gassing Jews and burying them alive. He's a child killer, and here are Christian leaders, and this is true, of course, of Christians all over the country. They'd support him, too. They'd lie for him, too. They'd vote for him, too.
Mm.
So it's not just that they think he's more pro-life than he lets on. It's not that. It's once you disobey God on something like do not kill the innocent, there's no bottom to that abyss.
That's true. That's true. Now, let's get to this. I want to hear your take on the statement from
Richard Murdoch.
When you listen to the initial statement, it implies that the rape was meant to happen.
And
it could be taken that way, is what I'm saying.
Right. And he has denied it, but he's, again, one of the confused Christian masses. He should listen to our, you know, we have a brand new DVD series called Chosen.
Oh, yes.
Chosen.
One of the best sermon series you've ever put together.
Oh, well, that's kind of you, Doug. Yeah. It's on Chosen. Chosen, the chosen priest.
Yeah.
The chosen tribe.
That's right.
And the chosen nation.
Yeah.
And chosen, it's not what people think.
It sure isn't, I'll tell you what.
And it's not what it's cracked up to be.
Speaking of chosen, someone has chosen, Scott in Longmont, has chosen to give $100 to the telethon. That's going to be matched by me, so that's two. I need another 100. Can I get it? Call us at 1-800-836-9278. Call us right now so I can get this money out of my pocket before I leave the air.
Well, that's kind of you, and it's kind of Scott. 800-836-9278.
Thank you, Scott. Now, Bob, also the statement by this Indiana Republican.
Somebody should send this DVD that I'm holding in my hand to this Richard Murdoch's office.
Yeah.
Somebody want to send that?
Yeah.
Because, Doug, we also have a seminar on open theism.
Yeah.
And we have Bible studies on predestination and
free will. Open theism. Give me that in a nutshell. Bumper sticker.
That because God is free and he has a will, the future is open. It's not settled.
Wow.
God is eternally free to have new thoughts, think new thoughts, to do new things, to write new songs.
So he hasn't determined everything for me.
God is free and open, and he's created us in his image.
Well, that's right.
We're likeness.
In his image. Now, has he determined some things?
Well, yeah. He's determined that he will have the victory over those who want to destroy everything for everyone.
Oh. So he has determined some things.
Oh, yeah. He has determined plenty of things.
I believe he's determined that those of us who follow Jesus Christ, he has determined that we will be conformed to his image.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
If we seek him.
And so God will have the victory over his enemies, but God, you know what they did? They threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
When they said the future is settled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't realize, they being most theologians, they didn't realize they were putting God in a box, saying God could never have another thought.
Yeah.
He could never have a new thought. You know, God is an author. He wrote a book. He wrote songs. Look at this. $100 from Thornton.
B in Thornton.
B.
Okay, B, you did it.
All right.
There we go. So we're up 400. We're at $17,683.
That's right. Is that Aunt B?
Aunt B in Thornton. That's awesome.
It's B from Thornton.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, B. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Scott. So, Doug, we have these studies that are so vital for seeing the nature of God, the character of God. But what's happened is Christians have followed the pagan Greeks. Remember, they thought if somebody got hit by lightning, that Zeus threw with a lightning bolt?
I remember, yes.
And so then Benjamin Franklin and others decided we could put up lightning rods.
Thwart the will of God.
Right. And sure enough, all these superstitious Christians thought, how can you do that? You can't change God's aim. Well, they did it.
Mm.
Apparently.
That's right.
And they used to think, you know, you have a toothache. I'm talking about St. Augustine.
Okay.
He thought his toothache was from God.
Yeah.
And so it turns out if you floss and brush your teeth, you can't be judged as often with toothaches.
And encourage everyone that if you get to know and understand the living God, you can have the confidence to make the big decisions in life, including justice, crime,
right,
and punishment.
And then this Richard Murdoch wouldn't have been in the mess.
Well, we'll get him the DVD.
All right. God bless you guys.
You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.